Welcome in time for a daily editorial. Jerry, thank you very much for putting on the blog, wishing me a happy birthday today. Yeah, 79 years old. Never thought that I would see 79, Jerry. You're a good friend. Thank you so much for putting that up.
And Al, happy birthday to Jerry as well, because I understand he has the same birth date as you.
Yeah. Yeah, so happy birthday, Jerry. Thanks very much again. By the way, Hakeem is now the minority leader of the House. Let's get some comments on that, Jimmy.
Yeah, so Hakeem Jeffries.
Yeah.
A progressive, but he's, you know, he's been a strong manipulator and supporter of Nancy and the Democratic ideology that's out there.
Yeah.
He managed to, you know, Pelosi resigned after the election from the House leadership position, though she has not resigned from her seat in Congress. That would be too costly for her, because she might not have as much money to be able to invest and make.
Yeah.
But I guess she's getting towards the latter stages of life, and maybe she doesn't need so much. I think Nancy Pelosi is kind of worried about what's going to come out when they actually show videos with her husband, Paul. But back to Hakeem Jeffries. This is going to be an interesting session in the House. And what I think is going to be problematic is, you know, Nancy Pelosi's, you know, she's got a very, very firm handle on the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
Because 20 years of power. And so she could make or break people very easily. So they had to all fall in line.
Yeah.
Hakeem Jeffries, it'll be difficult for him to regain that same amount of power that she had, or to take that mantle directly from her, because, you know, there's a little bit a different view of how the world should work, and he's pretty aggressive.
Yeah.
So what I expect is tremendous confrontation with Republicans on the House that lead these committees, which may in fact force those moderate Democrats to be a little bit more, a little less supportive of the progressive ideologies that are out there. Now, they, you know, somehow managed to pull off a surprising performance in this last election, the Democrats in deep blue House seats. But it's going to be hard. I mean, there was a lot of manipulation with information. There's a lot of people that have no idea what's happening. I mean, it's hard to believe, but there are Americans today that have no idea that over 5 million people have crossed the border illegally into the United States in the last, you know, less than 2 years under the Biden regime. There's people are still believing that somehow the CDC and the FDA and NAID and Health and Human Services have been doing the right thing with COVID.
Yeah.
And that's beginning to become quite apparent as we get more information. It's becoming very apparent now that the lies that they told of 100% effectiveness are wrong.
Yeah.
You know, we all know that. But the government censorship and the executive branch involvement in tech companies censoring information, that's likely to come out. And as you know, I think John on the blog said, hey, you know, they don't have, Congress only has the power to investigate. They don't have any, you know, power to enforce the law. And that's right. The executive branch does.
Right.
But the transparency aspect and actually getting that information out there is essential to making the right decisions for the future on who we will put in place in 2024 to kind of rein in the corruption that is so prevalent under this administration and under the Democratic Party in general. So Jeffries is going to have a tough time. I believe he's going to have a very tough time holding the ground that Pelosi held in the past with these types of investigations.
Yeah, I think he probably will. She's an old pro, and he's a new pro. So it's hard to say how he's going to manage to handle that one. He bit off a pretty big chunk of the pie. There's no question about that. Jimmy, let's talk a little bit about the pending financial crisis that we've got. The cryptocurrency is getting worse and worse and worse. You made a comment. You think it could really skyrocket into something huge. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, so when you know, we've been talking here for a few weeks. You know, the FTX collapse and Sam Bankman-Fried, and you know, going from $32 billion in assets down to nothing, filing bankruptcy. We've had a couple of different crypto exchanges in the last few months go into bankruptcy.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen Bitcoin go from a high. You know, just this year alone, I think it's dropped about 64-65% in value.
Mm-hmm.
When you have actual financial, now this is a lot of it, you know, is happening out there. A lot of people are keeping their hands over their eyes because there's so much money invested in it. But it's not just invested in the crypto. It's the money that's invested in crypto that have been used to make other loans.
Yeah.
Right? So they're backed by what? Electrons, and the idea of something like what they call, you know, stablecoin, dollar-based coins that are supposed to be equal. And Tether, in particular, is one of the largest, one of the most influential stablecoin producers, and one of these exchanges that has made massive loans out based on the value of crypto, of Ether, not based on a home value, not based on a diamond or gold back.
Not based on anything. It's, you know, and that's the problem with a currency that I've been saying for years and years and years. The U.S. dollar has absolutely no backing. Same thing with crypto. Crypto has absolutely no backing. Ponzi scheme, tulips.
Well, that's what I'm afraid of. Yeah, and what I and when you too. When you see the Wall Street Journal come out today with an article talking about Tether is potentially hiding risky loans that are based on Tether loans.
Yeah.
The potential for that exchange and those coins to collapse is greater just because people are getting awareness of what they've been investing in.
Yeah.
And the potential ripples through the financial markets are much more significant than anybody expected. I think of it as like the 1929 crash when there were so many companies, people are investing in everything in the stock market, all these massive amounts with very little regulation and no understanding that a lot of the investments had no backing. There was no actual industry behind it. So when you look at it from that perspective, crypto from, hey, look, what's actually behind it, and you're watching these values drop, and people have used the value of these of crypto coins and, of course, these stable coins to justify loaning other financial amounts for other advances, and we're potentially facing a deeper recession, which most analysts say is on its way, and we already know we went through a couple of months already. So economic decline, values decline, those loans come up, and a lot of them are investing, you know, just investing money and trying to, you know, climb the pyramid. If that collapses, you know, you've got a similar to the subprime mortgage bundles, you know, there wasn't anything there. The difference is there is nothing here but a tremendous amount of capital.
Anticipation.
Yeah, well, what stands behind these currencies, right?
Zero.
With the U.S. dollar, you're right, there's no tangible commodity behind it. But ultimately, the U.S. taxpayer and the federal government kind of guarantee, and of course, they're borrowing, 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 and spending, spending, spending.
Yeah.
But the idea is that government will last and that continued tax revenue will come in. And, you know, somehow that's going to, over time, going to be worked out. I don't know how anybody's going to work it out. It's just unbelievable the size of the debt that we've accrued. But with this crypto world, there's no government behind it. There's no guarantees. Oh, and by the way, there's no regulation.
No.
But we know that with the financial potential damage that will be done, someone's going to regulate. And that's going to have a big impact both on the crypto markets.
All you've got behind this Ponzi scheme is a couple of hotshot IT guys. That's all you got.
Yep.
Young kids.
Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. This Sashi Yamamoto, the guy, or whatever his name is, Nakatomi, with a guy that actually, you know, the pseudonym for the whoever invented the crypto coin,
right?
Or the Bitcoin, excuse me. You know, it was designed. It was easy to trade. You know, use it to put in exchanges in order to launder drug money. You know, to use criminal activity. I remember very much listening to an NPR report on, you know, how much it was being used for underground, you know, activity.
Yeah.
So how long do governments put up with that when it actually is taking away tax revenue? And now, of course, they're taxing, you know, Bitcoin profits and taxing. So you know, there's going to be more and more regulation on it. You've got an economic, you know, potential downturn right now. And then you've got these problems with the exchanges and then the loans that are made based on the value of the crypto, which is declining. So I guess Mark Mobius, a, you know, investment guy on CNBC is just, I just saw a headline. He's actually predicting Bitcoin to go down to 10,000. If that goes down to 10,000, that's another 40% drop. That's from down from its highs in the 65,000 just a year ago.
So, well, the question I have for you, Jimmy, and it's a little more all-encompassing than what this guy said, and that is our entire financial system, the entire financial system of the United States is based on a hope and a prayer. There's absolutely no asset-based currency in existence in the United States right now. If everybody throws their hands in the air and says, look what happened, it can happen again. If it happens again, we're absolutely screwed. What are we going to do? I think that could cause a serious, serious panic in the United States.
Well, welcome to modern monetary theory.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And again, these are experimentations in economics and thought from idealists that that really, you know, I mean, could potentially bring down, again, all our markets.
Yeah.
And actually take away, unfortunately, take away free markets.
Yeah.
Because of people experimenting and doing this, and then the government's response will be in order to take more control.
Right.
So whether you appreciate it or not, you know, that's going to happen. In the likelihood it's going to happen. And there's already you're seeing a large pushback around the world, and you have been for the last few years. You know, you can just go back to the Greece financial crisis, the Greek financial crisis, you know, where people are just protesting. And in the end, they're still economically just in a disaster case because people just push back on it so much. And when you put the socialist ideas that actually control, that you can somehow control these markets, that you can somehow control people's behavior, and that you can somehow force your ideology onto people, it's gonna blow up in your face. I think
it already has. It did this morning.
Yeah. And we'll see. You know, we'll see how this goes. But I'm not very optimistic unless we get people that deregulate, people that actually let markets go free yet protect sovereignty of nations. And that's the big issue out there is, you know, look, the United States interests for American citizens need to be first.
Yeah, and definitely
make decisions based on that, not based on helping somebody, you know, some worker in Brazil or China or anywhere else.
Right. Well, Brazil and China, these people are important. They're human beings. But the fact of the matter is our country, America, is crumbling as we sit here talking.
Well, and okay, they're human beings, but guess what? They live under a different form of government with different culture, different beliefs. That's their responsibility to take care of themselves. It's just like the homeless people, you know. I feel sorry for the guy that sits out there, but not for the guy that decided to sit out there, you know, and live homelessly. I feel sorry for the person that has mental, that has mental deficiencies and can't take care of himself. And I would like to help that guy, but I'm not sorry for the 23-year-old that's out there living on the street smoking dope and saying, hey, I'm going to burn down the city because I don't like the system, living in a tent. You know, I'm not going to feel sorry for that.
No,
I'm not
going to feel sorry. I agree 100%.
Yeah, the people that sit around and beg for a decade, and I've seen them, they're right there in Washington in our neighborhood, the same people when we were living there, sitting on this corner for years when there are so many opportunities and public, you know, assistance efforts that they can turn to, and they don't do it because it's financially lucrative or they just are lazy. You know, that's your problem. That's not mine.
Yeah.
And we have to change that mentality. Is it going to happen? No, because too many people have bleeding hearts and say, oh, you know, I've got to do the right thing, or they're guilty because they make a lot of money.
Yeah.
And so they're going to pay off someone else to assuage them of their responsibility in their own mind.
Yeah.
Forget that. People got to take care of themselves if they're capable of doing it. If they're not capable of doing it, they need help. And you know what? When you break down the family and you take away, you know, moral level of support for and responsibility. You take away the church. You take away our social structures, which is exactly what the left is doing, the progressive doing. And put it all on the government, you're screwing everybody over.
Yeah, that's exactly what's happening right now. There's no question whatsoever about that. Jimmy, you had another topic you wanted to bring up, and I forgot what it was.
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I think about covered it today. We'll probably hit back tomorrow and let you get a little bit of rest so you can heal up, Al, and enjoy your birthday.
And you know what's funny? In our great system here, I can't even get the doctor to return phone calls.
It's just, yeah, the system is just becoming, and you know, you can thank COVID to a lot of this.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I did take a couple of COVID tests yesterday, and I don't have COVID, but there's a real nasty flu strain going around here that's got nothing to do with COVID, and I think that's what I've got.
Well, let me hit one other topic.
Yeah,
CFS put a little list of potential deaths. You know, in the U.S., over 3,000. EU somewhere around there. You know, 2,500. China, 395. Africa, like 9.
Yeah.
And here's what I would say. First of all, you can't trust any of these statistics. And we know that for a fact from the FDA, from the CDC, the CDC in particular, where they were counting deaths that were COVID, had potentially a COVID marker, but not necessarily died of COVID now.
Yeah.
Now, apparently they're trying to like clean up that some of that reporting, but it's a very, very small number. Remember back in 2021 and 2020, in 2021, no flu cases, I mean, almost none in the country, almost no flu deaths.
Yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, the flu's back. Think about that. How inconsistent is that?
That's pretty inconsistent, Jim, and it's pretty scary.
Yeah.
I know where you're going.
Yeah, I just don't, you know, any of these numbers, you cannot trust them. Because the governments have gotten so involved in depending on pharmaceutical companies that have a business model in mind and that are, in my view, absolutely corrupt.
Yeah.
And I'm about fed up with them. And I think many Americans hopefully are beginning to feel the same way.
You bet.
Because it's just unbelievable the amount of not only hypocrisy, but the lies that have been told from, you know, officials. And now, you know, you listen to Fauci and they come back with, you know, these crazy numbers. But hey, let's look at, you know, how many people in the United States are dying and what the probability is for your age.
Yeah.
And how many people have anxiety medication? How many people have diabetic medication?
Yeah.
How many people are significantly overweight? And, you know, is COVID doing that? Possibly, but it's other factors as well. And we know that, at least three or four other factors.
Well, the one thing that I think COVID is doing that is really, really detrimental to the country is it has established very securely a negative mindset in the United States, Jim.
People are scared to death.
You bet.
And so many, I mean, I can't believe how many people have been either scared or they are motivated by a sense of, I had a waitress that came up with a mask the other day. No one else in the restaurant was with a mask. And she just was like really actually mean and disrespectful.
Yeah.
And I thought, gosh, you know, you're covering your face from your own personality. You know, you can't even see if she's smiling or not. And, you know, I think I told the story, I don't know, a family member talked to my wife about visiting, and we were in D.C. a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And when she said, "Oh, well, are you guys vaccinated?" My wife went, "I guess we won't see you because we're not." And she said, "Well, we follow all the CDC guidelines. You know, we're doing everything masks." The next week, they post a video of themselves at a huge party in Paris with no masks on.
Yeah.
Now, how ridiculous is that? And this was a close family member to my wife, someone that she had respected and, you know, very influential and people in D.C. And that inconsistency and lie just doesn't make any sense.
No,
but that's
none whatsoever.
Even with our own family. And it's really damaging to society and culture.
Yeah, it really is. Unfortunately, I can hardly wait to say, you know, what's going to come around the corner next. It's kind of been one one tragedy after another. No question about that.
We're in for some dark times.
There's no question about that. Jim, looking forward to doing the weekend show, which we will record tomorrow.